Come on, BC, give him a shout this morning. Amen. Hey, let's go. Let's go. I'm already hoarse from worship. Incredible. Come on, man. When we come to this place, church, I want to walk in a mindset and in a belief that God can do anything. I want to limit God. I don't want to walk in this place to think I can shorthand God or shortchange God, to believe that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. I believe that. I believe that then, because of the sinfulness and the stupid of mankind, God flooded the entire earth except for a family of eight. I believe that. I believe that God split the sea for freedom. I believe that. I believe that God can raise the dead. I believe that God can heal the sick. I believe that God can do whatever he pleases because he's God Almighty, and we should be, watch this. We should be a people who walk in his place to believe that God is, always has been, and always will be a God of miracles, and he can do what he says he can do because he is God Almighty. Can we give him praise this morning? Amen. Come on, church, I want to walk in a place to believe that, to know that God can work. I want to see God work. I want to see God work in lives, in our region, in our community, in this family. Man, I want to see God move. I believe that when Jesus Christ was on that cross and he bowed his head and he breathed his last, that there was a true earthquake and the graves opened up and people saw dead people walking around, not some zombie 101, but the real deal. I believe that in Ezekiel, God spoke to some dry bones. He had prophets speak to the dry bones, and the dry bones somehow, some way, put on flesh and came alive. Church, when you begin to see this and you begin to never get past this and dive in to this as absolute truth, to see God has written it down for us of his power and his might and his glory. And I am one who believes that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And as God moved, I believe that he will move again. Can you say amen to that, church? Some of you are like, this dude needs to go on vacation again. He comes back juiced. No, but when you want to truly see God move, and I love Believer's Chapel. I've loved BC from Renee and I, and just walking in this place and praying, God, what will you have for us? We never wanted to play church. We never wanted a people just to come play church, check a box, do your thing. But I think there's a pressing truly in my spirit, honestly, as your pastor more than ever, that I just want to see God move in such a powerful way that when you walk in this place, I don't want you to hear a great message. I think we are past a great message. We want to walk into a place to see the word truly transform lives. Let truth come to a place to transform lives, that you know there is something different in me because I came to hear the truth today. Not just a great message that just gets swallowed up in the hour that you leave. We come into a place as a family, brothers and sisters, adopted by Almighty God, to walk in a place of holiness, to be done with great messages. You walk in this place to say, God, I want people to be different because they've heard your word, because your spirit has come and done a work in their lives and in their families and in their marriages and in their kids. And God, I want to see more than ever before a generation that walked in this place to be so bold on truth that they are not afraid. Church, that's not just a great message. That is truth that transforms. And we want to see God. We want to be a house that we didn't do these little wimpy little prayers. God, just please grow the grass. We don't do the Cheerio prayer. God, bless my Cheerios. I mean, it's more of a Captain Crunch deal for me, but a true story. I'm on the couch last night eating a box of Captain Crunch with popcorn. Don't ask me why. My wife was like, honey, I could make you a nice turkey. We have turkey in the fridge. You're eating a box of Captain Crunch. I'm like, I'm on a roll, honey. I almost got it done. It's incredible. Bag is almost empty from my Captain Crunch. But anyways, you walk in this place to want to really believe that God can move mountains, to believe that his spirit is in me and in that I will grant forgiveness, and I will not hold a grudge, and I will not hold bitterness. And by His Spirit, God's Spirit, the power and might of God by His Spirit, there is authority in the name of Jesus that we need to tap into to believe that, God, You can do all things, and I will walk in a place to do Your will. Not my will, but God, let Your will be done. It is no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And in that, we walk by this place and this amazing thing called faith to actually believe that God, nothing is hard for You. Church, we need to get back to a place to be dynamic again. The church needs to come back to that place to be real and to be dynamic and not be distracted by the absolute crazy stupidity of this world. And I hope that Believer's Chapel have not lost track. I hope that we as a team and as leaders have walked in His place to keep us on track in the midst of crazy and stupid. We will not get distracted. But the church, the whole church, needs to walk in this place to shut off the crazy and walk back in a place of balance of God's truth. And believe once again that God is not done. You see in Jeremiah 32, where He tells Jeremiah to prophesy, "Behold, I am the maker of all flesh." He makes this announcement. "Behold" is this announcement. The trumpets are sounding. He says, "Jeremiah, tell the people, prophesy to the people that behold, I am the God of all flesh. I've created all things. Is anything too hard for Me?" Church, we need to get our spirit and our mind aligned and our souls aligned to the belief again that God will move again and there is nothing hard for Him. You got the Virgin Mary walks in His place to be pregnant and she's like, "Woo! What? How? How can this be? No way." And what does the angel tell her? Nothing is impossible with God. Own it. Church, what happens when you come to a place when God moves so amazingly in your life that you just have to be, take the words of the angel, I'm paraphrasing, Mary, own it. Nothing's hard for Him. Church, I want that. I want God to move in this region. I want God to move in this church. I want God to move in the people of this church like never before. Our best has not yet happened as Believer's Chapel. I tell you that. But we're going to walk in this place to shed some skin and get fresh again. You ever see a snake shed its skin? It's fresh again. We have a cleaner shrimp in one of our fish tanks here, and it just shed its skin, and then it allows for growth. And there's just times in church I think you need to shed your skin a little bit so that there can be true growth. Man, I'm coming off a great vacation with my family. It was amazing. Great times of rest, great times on the beach, great times of laughter, great time in the car. It was great. I mean, it was just a great week. But man, even though I'm not here, we walk in this place. I love this house and I love this church and I love these people. But how about my man, Pastor Al, last week? He just crushed it. Pastor Al, he crushes it all the time. He just crushed it. What a word. And I'm like, listen, Renee, here's the deal. He's going to laugh, and then he's going to cry, and then he's going to laugh, and then he's going to cry. He's going to tell stories, and then he's going to preach, and there's going to be transformed lives when Al's done. And Pastor Al, God bless him. I honor him. And it's a blessing, truly a blessing, to have that man on staff here at BC. I appreciate, again, the finances to have the finest staff in church, and I believe it here. And Al is amazing, and he's got more care in his little pinky than most people in their whole body. Pastor Al is truly a blessing, and he's a blessing to this body. And if you need anything at Believer's Chapel, care-wise, he is our guy. He is incredible. And then you come to this amazing event called Seek, I don't know if I've ever missed a Seek. I don't know. But family has to come first. And it was our only week, and we booked it a month ago, and Renee pulled the trigger on it. Something opened up from a cancellation. I'm like, we got to figure it out. I came back early to officiate a wedding yesterday, and just... But we were watching Seek, through the little telephone, you know, and it's just amazing. Can we say thank you to the booth to just be able to provide that for us? They're amazing. Before I left, I told my man Brendan, I said, B-man, this is the deal, man. Sheik is on you. You're the only one I want on stage in that sense of that atmosphere of the ministry part and the prayer part and the worship part and just... Sheik was so good. Sheik was so powerful through a little telephone, right? It's just, I couldn't even imagine what it was like here. Of course, Brennan and I talked afterward. He said it was so good. And the people's response was amazing. And I'm telling you, I'm proud. I'm so proud as a pastor of our team. Our team is so deep. Church, I hope you realize the depth that you have in this church in the spiritual sense of your team. Can we say thank you to the team here at Believers Chapel? It's amazing. True story, we're on the beach and we're in the ocean and we're playing with this bouncy ball in the ocean and a football and a frisbee and just having a blast. And we're all in the water at this point. And all of a sudden the lifeguards are going up and down the beach. Just really, there's this intensity in their voice about everybody getting out of the water. So we all had to exit the water, our section of the beach. And of course, I'm like, did someone poop in the pool? I mean, is this one of those things, add some chlorine, someone pooped in the pool. Everybody out of the pool, Snickers is floating. You know what I'm saying, right? And you walk in this place where one of the lifeguards got bit by a shark. True story. You can look it up. Hilton Head Beach, lifeguard got hit by a shark, and that was right on our beach. Like in Hilton Head, there's these flag, there's this one section of lifeguards, and then just a bit over, there's another section of lifeguards. And in that other section of lifeguards, and it was on our beach right there. I mean, we didn't know what was happening, but you could actually literally see it if we were looking, where the lifeguard was doing his job, checking the rip current and just going back and forth. And a black tip shark 6 feet long. I'm like, listen, I don't care if a shark is 2 feet. He's got bigger teeth than me. I don't, you know. And he got tagged right here in the side as he's taking a stroke. And the brother did his job. I mean, he gets hit by a shark and he's bleeding and it was nasty. And he's screaming at everybody to get out of the water, for there's a shark. Get out of the water. Get out of the water. And he gets to the edge and he just collapses. And then he gets his aid. And then they put him in a helicopter and fly him to the hospital. And me and my conversations with the lifeguards and just having some fun, but yet knowing the seriousness of their team. They're all a team. And one of their members took a hit, a serious, serious hit. And I'm like, okay, well, if the odds are, well, one gets hit out of how many? I said, the odds are good. We can go back in the water. Like, you know, and of course you start studying that. Once someone gets hit, you're like, okay, how to avoid a shark bite. Don't wear bright bathing suit. So if you stand next to somebody with a bright bathing suit, they're the target. Anyways, I'm just saying, watch Jaws right before you go on vacation. That's amazing. The first one. But my man's name was Sam, and the lifeguards are bummed. And I told her, I said, listen, we're going to pray for Sam. She's like, okay. You know, as a college girl, been at Hilton Head for 3 years. I mean, what a great college job. You go sit on a beach, right? So what we're going to do right now, we're going to pray for our friend Sam. Because I told the lifeguard we would as a church. Church, when do we realize that anywhere you go, Jesus goes? It's not like you're a Christian at home. Sitting on a beach when there's this serious thing that took place, Sam took a serious hit, and then Sam's a hero because he did his job to get everybody out of the water. My heart broke for Sam and for that team of people that just love Sam because they're a tight group. I said, listen, we're going to pray for Sam. She's like, wow, we would really appreciate that. You're not a Christian at church. You're a Christian. You're not married when you get home. You're married. So would you just bow your heads and let's agree. And I've been trying to find how many stitches Sam got. I've not got that report yet. I'd love to know the stitch count. And just what the repair really looked like. So Father, we We love that everywhere we go, we are a light. It doesn't matter what continent we're on. It doesn't matter what beach we're on. It doesn't matter what grocery store we go in. It doesn't matter where we're at. That, Father, no matter what mountain we find ourselves on top of, Father, we are called to be light and to love people and care for people. Father, we just pray for our friend Sam. I thank you for him being a hero, that he did his job and got everybody out of the water. Lord, I pray for his family, his mom and his dad. God, I pray for great doctor's care throughout the healing process. Father, through all of this, I have no idea where he's at in you. But God, I pray that there is somehow, some way, whether he already comes to this place to know you, but God, he would come to a place to respond to you in such a way that he will never be the same. He would come to know you as the God who has created the shark. And Lord, that you would move and heal his body. In Jesus' name, amen. Are you with me? Come on. Let's preach. Come on, Proverbs 3, please. We're in this series on wisdom. We took a break from my man Levi and his testimony. That was stunning. If you missed that, go online and catch that. Our brother Levi just crushed it 2 weeks ago. That was absolutely amazing. And then just so you know, right after that, Levi buys a car, paints it red, white, and blue. And as you know, my man has, what, six or eight staples with this metal in his back. And he, what would be common sense? What should you do at that point? Let's go get in a demolition derby, because that's a great idea, right? So he buys a car, paints it all up, gets in demolition derby at the Cat County Fair, and just gets trucked, man. He gets crushed. I'm like, all right, show me some after pictures. These after pictures are just, the car is half, it's unbelievable, right? And then he actually learned from other drivers, yeah, that's probably not the best car for this. You should buy this car. And then here's the actual rules. You can accommodate it, and you can do this to the bumper, and you can do this to the bumper, and you can do this to the inside. And then he's like, oh, light bulb. So what's he do? He's going to get into another one with a juiced up car. It's going to be incredible. That's our man Levi, who crushed it 2 weeks ago to the glory of God. And I'm excited to get into this today and then the next couple weeks. Next week we'll have communion. I'm excited for that. But church, there's so much to wisdom. And then after this, we're going to do a series on prayer. What does it truly mean to be confident before the throne? What does it truly mean to cry out in prayer? What does it mean for families to pray together? What does it mean for church to pray and believe? What's it mean then you're going through a struggle, you cry out to the Lord? What's it mean to pray a prayer of healing? What's it mean to really walk into place as husbands begin to do their job and cover their families and pray over their wives and pray over their kids, and wives would do their part to pray and honor their husbands through prayer? What's that family look like? Can't wait to preach that. That's just been in my spirit for a while on prayer. And today we look at what wisdom can bring. When you understand one of the fruits, one of the true fruits of wisdom is stability. One of the true fruits to wisdom is it brings stability so that you don't stumble. And when you understand the season that we are in right now in the world, the season that we are in America, the season that we are in New York, can you tell me what's stable? I turn 52 next week, and I'm young. You all been around longer than I have. But in our history, I don't remember anything that is so unstable as our time right now. It is just crazy. It's chaos. And I was just so hopeful that this thing would be over by now, in that sense of COVID and vaccines and unvaccinated, masks or unmasked. Listen, when you walk in the reality of what's happening today, the reality is I don't care if you're vaccinated or not. I don't know why it's your business if someone is or is not. Like, no, and I mean that. I haven't got into this much. But the reality is, when you look at a system that just brings people to a place to be so unstable and to bring such division, division brings confusion, right? And when you walk in this place on this whole vaccinated thing, whether you're vaccinated, great, I'll high five you. If you're unvaccinated, guess what? I'm not in fear. I'll high five you. Whatever that looks like, I don't care, because we need to get back to a place here that says it's not my business. Because, listen, you could say, well, what about this and what about that? Well, there's this side and there's that side and there's this doctor and there's that doctor and there's this report and there's that report and there's the masks work or masks don't work or whether you, we could go down that road a long time, but you know what it does? It just brings confusion. You know what it does? It causes this finger pointing. You know what it does? It just causes even in church to bring division. Folks, we are called to walk in a place to put our focus on Christ and on the truth of God's word. And isn't the enemy so crafty to bring such distraction? And you walk in this place to here, live in this place called New York. And you walk in a place where our governor church, he is hurt. So much in New York. You have the president of the United States saying, enough, Cuomo, you got to go. That's the president of the United States calling out his own guys. You got to go. You're a predator. When are we going to walk back into a place to have this moral excellence? When are we going to walk in a place to have some type of integrity and leadership? So many people don't have an idea of the truth to where we're at in New York. Where he has hurt our justice system on such deep levels as policemen and women. He has hurt the justice system that the criminals just go free. So you have no idea, church, what's happening. And it is time to say no to Cuomo. It is time to say, dude, the President of the United States and your own people are saying, you're a predator. Why are you in charge of New York State? You've got state to state being so different, whether it's masks or vaccine. It's just that this, we are in such an unstable time. Church, our government truly has provided the sense of laziness where Renee and I are on vacation. We're calling on Monday to make reservations for dinner. I know it's Monday, but dude, we don't have a reservation available till Friday night at 9 p.m. I'm like, dude, it's Monday. We're leaving Friday. You have no idea. We have nobody to work. Nobody wants to work. I'm like, dude, are you kidding me? Like, we're in Hilton Head. Like, no. So when you see signs here in New York in our little region that says help wanted, and you see, I went to Tim Hortons this morning, and they close at 8 p.m. I said, why are you guys closing at 8 p.m.? Because nobody wants to work. You think that's just our local thing? You can't get a reservation for dinner in Hilton Head. And we did find a few. Don't get me wrong. We found a few wonderful places to eat. But the reality is there's signs on the doors to say, please be patient with us. We are short staffed. It's going to be a while. Church, the reality is we've created a very unstable, very lazy society thinking money just for free. Somebody's paying for that. Guess who's paying for that? The ones who are actually working because they have integrity and character and they're not lazy. Church, the Bible says this. I love this, man. It's the truth. But there's instability in this. And you walk in this place to be unstable because nobody wants to work. They think, oh, the government's just going to pay for me. I can just sit on my couch and collect. Man, wouldn't it just been simple to say, listen, there's a time and there's season for unemployment. God bless that system. But as soon as your job was offered back to you, you go back to work or every penny is cut off. It's not that complicated. Go to work. God says, you don't work, you don't eat. Put that over social services in the White House. See how that goes. But church, we live in a society that is unstable. You live in a society that is very confused. Let me be very, very clear in regards to an agenda from the enemy. Listen, there's right, there's wrong, there's good, there's evil, there's light, there's dark. God is the God of family. God is the God who created husband and wife and male and female. God is the God who created a system of family. He did it on day six, the very beginning of creation, to create a husband and a wife, to be able to produce. Galatians 6:7 says this, do not be deceived. Isn't it amazing? The enemy can deceive so simple. And he can distract. It's not complicated. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he shall reap. If you reap to the flesh, that you shall sow, that you shall reap. If you sow to the flesh, that you will reap. And you need to hear me on this, please. There's an agenda for this generation. There's an agenda for your grandkids and this trans movement. Please hear me. If we do believe this, and we believe that God knew you in your mother's womb, it's not complicated. And that God is the one who created you, male or female, with a particular parts. It's not complicated. If you believe this and you believe, God, you created me a man. But yet, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. What you sow, you shall reap. Who am I to come to a place in my significant little peon brain to say, God, I know that you created a man, but I think you made a mistake, and I'm going to walk in a place as a female, and all the whole world's just going to be okay with that, and we're going to do marches about that, and we're going to be so proud about that, and God, we're going to just put it in your face. Please hear me, church. Please hear me. God has a particular plan, and God has a particular purpose for you as he knew you and created you in the exact perfect timing to be male or female. It isn't complicated. It's not complicated. And I'd love to know where the true church is on all of these issues. Because this is going to slam against a generation. It's going to slam against your kids because it is in cartoons and it is in politics and it is in movies and it is in the books that they're reading. And unfortunately, it has now found its way into our schools. What the heck is happening, church? We are so unstable. So what does wisdom have to do with all of that? Church, when you walk into a place to realize the reality of wisdom is what God has said and how we are to live our life day to day. I want to walk in this place of wisdom. I don't want to stumble. I want to be stable. I don't want contaminants to come in. What happens, church, when we come back to a place and say, God, I need you to truly move again. God, I want to move in our own backyard. God, I want you to move in this region again where they're truly, listen, church, we've got to be done with just a good message. We've got to get into this place and say, I believe this. God, you can move again. Lives are not going to be the same again. Truth is going to transform a husband and a wife and kids and transform a generation. My heart, church, is broken for a generation that is behind me. I have no idea what our grandkids are going to look like if this pattern doesn't change. Where's the church? Truly, where's the church in all of this? There's a point that we've got to get done with the good message and come back to a place, to a truth that transforms before a holy God, that it absolutely is only the work of the Holy Spirit to do a work of purification. And if this sheds some skin here at BC, I'm really much okay with that, because that will bring great growth. And you walk in this place to see Proverbs 3, verse 21, please. My son, let them not vanish from your sight. Keep. I love this. Keep. The word here means to hold on to. Keep. Listen, if we talked about 3 weeks ago how valuable wisdom is, how important wisdom is, don't you think the enemy would try to come in and distract you from wisdom? If we know it's that important, we know it's that valuable. And here we're told in Proverbs 3, keep it. Hold on to it. Don't you think the enemy and his distraction is trying to come in and get your minds off of wisdom and get your minds on all of these other distractions and all of these instabilities and all of these other crazy? And then you know what happens? It causes you to stumble. I don't know how I got over here. How did I buy into this belief so easy? How did I buy into this so easy? Because God's telling us, you better hold on to sound wisdom. Hold on to it. Hold it tight. Watch what it says. I love this. Watch this. Verse 21, my son, let them not vanish from your sight. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. Keep sound wisdom and hold them tight. I want to put the definitions up here again. We did it a few weeks ago. I want you to see it again, right? I want you to see the reality of, you've got some cousins here. You've got wisdom, discernment, discretion, knowledge, understanding. They're all kind of cousins. They're all kind of like brothers and sisters of the same family. But we're going to deal with the three. Wisdom, skillful in all areas of daily living. That's God's advice on how to live daily. I suggest that we follow that. I suggest that we walk in the way of his wisdom. Discernment, I love that, to see clearly. God, I need discernment in this area. Have you ever prayed that? God, I need to give me discernment. Help me to see clearly whether this is right or wrong, whether this is good or evil, or I love this, whether it's truth or a lie, whether this has to do with light or darkness. God, help me to see, help me to have discernment on this. How does this balance around family? God, your creation of family, how does this balance? Help me to have discernment on what is being so pushed so hard today. Help me to just clearly see. It's not complicated, God. You didn't make it complicated. Help me to clearly see in discernment right and wrong, good and evil. Help me to clearly see, is this truth or is lie? How does this deal with the foundation of family? God, give me discernment. Have you ever prayed that? Discretion. Here he says, keep, hold tight, wisdom and discretion. Discretion is this, to identify a plot, to identify a plan or a purpose. Help me to walk in a place of good discretion, that are you for me or are you against me? Because you can do a lot of flattery. And the game in that is just a plot that you get all the attention. Are you actually for me or are you against me? You can have people that are going to, you need to walk in great discretion on people around you going, are they for me or are they against me? What is their plan? What is their intent? What is their plot? What is their purpose? You walk in these place of wisdom and discernment and discretion. And I love here in Proverbs 3, he says, listen, keep it. Hold it tight. Don't let it go. Watch, so they will be life, here it is, life to your soul. They will be life to your soul. What happens when you walk in a place that your soul begins to get soured? What happens when you watch the news so much that you get sucked in to the news and you're like, now I believe it, and I didn't believe it, but now I believe it. And man, even though there's contradictory in all areas of this, you just sit in front of the tube and you watch the news all day long, and all of a sudden you feel, my soul, what's wrong with my soul? Church, what happens when you walk in this place? Watch this. This is so good. Keep sound wisdom and discretion so they will be life to your soul. I love this. And adornment to your neck. This is so important because it says keep sound wisdom. And that means hold it tight. When it says an adornment to your neck, like I have a cross around my neck. And I have it there on purpose, not just to have a cross, but it is a constant reminder to boast on the cross. It is a constant reminder to know that I am free and I am forgiven. Why? Because it hangs around my neck. I see it every day. I realize it's there. I can feel it. This is what it's saying. This is the importance of sound wisdom and discretion. This is how important it is that you wear it like it's around your neck. So you see it. So you feel it. So it's there. So you know I need to hold on to this. It's important. Important to me, as if it was a necklace that I would hold on to every day. Watch this. Here it is. We got to cruise. Then you will walk in your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. Then, I love the scripture, particularly Proverbs, has a lot of if and then. If you do this, then you do that. If you do this, then you receive that. If you do this, which is bad, then you're going to receive this. There's a lot of ifs and thens. In Proverbs, and you walk in this place. I love this. My son, keep sound wisdom and discretion so they will be life to your soul, adornment to your neck. Then you will walk in your way securely and your foot will not stumble. You ever seen a drunk person walk like a true drunk person? Like they're just like their head. I'm like, dude, I don't know what is on your head. Like, why is the head so heavy, right? They're just like out of balance and they're just... You're laughing because you know, maybe just, I'm not judging you at all, but I'm just saying, you know. But they're out of balance. They have put a contaminant, let me say this, they put too much of a contaminant within their body and it causes them to stumble. Church, what happens when you put too much of a contaminant and you're not walking in sound wisdom? It causes you to be unstable. And it causes you to stumble. Come on, turn with me, please, to James chapter 1. We got a cruise here. I want you to see this. I'm really, really excited about the next couple weeks. And I'm excited about our time of prayer. But this is James 1. It says this. And James is an amazing, amazing individual in Scripture. It's Jesus' half-brother. And there's this amazing moment that Jesus had with James after his resurrection, before his ascension, that Jesus made it a point to go get one-on-one with James, his half-brother. And I read this and I'm reminded of times where, have you ever had those moments truly that it's that you're in this one-on-one with Jesus? And I love this because our Lord, by his Spirit, truly is on a one-on-one basis, that he knows your name, that he calls you son, and he calls you daughter, and he's adopted you as his own, and you walk in his place. That James, watch this, James, he needed that one-on-one with his brother in order to make him his Lord. And I hope that we walk in that place, whether it be even in our time of worship here, where you just feel like you're the only one in the room and there's just such an amazing, amazing connection to God Almighty. And there's that moment that you just, oh, they're beautiful moments. You just one-on-one with him. Or maybe it's that moment where you're at home and you come to that place of realization, God, you have never left me. And you've never forsaken me. You're faithful to me. James had one of those one-on-one moments that caused him to come to this place to believe that his half-brother was truly the Messiah. Crazy. And James says this, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Verse 5, watch this. But if any of you lacks wisdom, it's what happens when you go through a season of life and you've kind of been caught up into the distraction. I very much believe that everything that's taking place is just a distraction. It causes such great division. Focus, focus, focus. Your mind has been so caught up on the things of that which are unstable. One of the fruits of wisdom is stability. Isn't it amazing that Satan, our enemy, has allowed the church to get so distracted? Allowed division to come into the church over a piece of cloth on your face. Seriously. If you want to wear a mask, I will high five you and I will hug you. You probably won't want to take it close to me, but I'm going to squeeze you. James say? He says, listen, consider it joy. You're going to go through various trials. Your faith is going to be tested. You're going to need to endure. But when you're going through that, if anyone lacks wisdom, watch this. Let them ask of God. Church, when is the last time you truly said, God, I need wisdom? God, I need to know what to do. God, I need discernment. Help me to clearly see this according to your word. God, I need discretion. Are they full of fluff? Or are they for me? Do they care about me? Can I trust them? God, I need a clear understanding on this. God, I need knowledge. They're all cousins. But if any of you lack wisdom, ask God for it. Watch this. Who gives to all how? What's it say? Weekly, in little bit of portion, only when you know. No, it says, in all generosity. God watches church. God is not short on giving you wisdom. You and I have no excuse. Please hear me. You and I have no excuse in today's confusion. We have no excuse in today's crazy. We have no excuse in the distractions of today. Because the Bible says, if you lack wisdom, ask God. And what you're going to do, He's going to give to you in this place of generosity. Abundance of wisdom. Church, I need us, all of us, to walk in this place to be praying for wisdom. God, I need to ask you for wisdom. And what I know is you will give to all generously without reproach, and it will be given to him. Watch this. But he must, here it is, if you lack wisdom, ask God. He will give to you generously, but you must ask in faith without any doubting. I love this. I love this. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. You're like a boat in the ocean with no anchor, no sail, and no rudder. You're just at the mercy of the waves, just back and forth, to and fro. You have absolutely zero direction. But when we ask, God, I need wisdom. We're in a crazy season. I need wisdom. And I know that you'll give it to me, but I'm not asking in a place of doubt. I'm coming to you. Please hear me, church. I'm coming to you in a place of great faith. I don't want to be that ship that's tossed to and fro. I don't want to be in a boat with no oar. God, I want to walk in this place to trust you for wisdom. Watch. Verse 7, for that man ought to not expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man. Watch this. Being a double-minded man, being what? Unstable in all his ways. I don't want to be a double-minded man that is unstable in all my ways. I want to come before the Lord boldly, with the confidence to say, God, I need wisdom. I need to see it clearly from your point of view. Life, daily living from your point of view. I don't want to be that ship with no oar. I don't want to be that ship with no anchor. I don't want to be tossed to and fro. I don't want to be that double-minded who's so scatterbrained. One day they're here, one day over there, one day they're here, one day they're over there. They ain't got a clue. Those people are unstable in all their ways. So he asks us to ask in faith without doubt for wisdom, because what does wisdom do? Wisdom brings stability, church. Wisdom brings stability to a very unstable season. Come on, last place. I've got a minute. 2 Peter, please. 2 Peter chapter 1. And this is one of the cousins to wisdom. Verse 5, it says this, and now for this very reason, apply all diligence. And diligence, diligence means with an intensity. Like diligence means something that is very intense. Like apply with an intensity, like with a vigor, with a zeal. That's what this means. Apply with a zeal. in your faith supply moral excellence, or we are lacking a moral excellence today. There's filth on every channel. There's filth in music. There's filth in cartoons. There's filth in our government. You walk in this place, church, to just see this serious decay. And I think there's been a decay of common sense, truly. One of the dumbest things on the planet is to defund the police. I say that strong and bold. I think we should give them a month to be proud. Don't you think so? And I'm happy because reports are coming out that people are agreeing that that was the dumbest thing on the planet. And they're starting to get away from that quite quickly, because guess what criminals are? They're criminals. They're bad guys. And when there's no repercussions, guess what bad guys do? They get worse. Guess what? People are trying to figure that out. And I'm glad that there is a slow turn to the reality of common sense that you need. Well, there's bad cops. Guess what? There's bad everywhere, genius. Yes, there are bad cops. Train them better. Do something different in your training. There's bad pastors. Guess what? There's bad nurses. There's bad doctors. There's bad politicians. A lot of them. That doesn't solve the issue. My goodness. There's instability everywhere, church. We walk in this place. Look at this. I got to fly. Just love me. Listen, I haven't been here for a week, so you got to give me a little extra love. Watch this. Supply moral excellence in your moral excellence knowledge. And knowledge, I love this. It's a cousin to wisdom. And knowledge is truth properly understood. Truth. Properly understood. And then applied. And in your knowledge, self-control. In your self-control, perseverance. In your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, a brotherly kindness. And brotherly kindness, love. For these, I love this, for if these qualities are yours and increasing, watch this, please hear me, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 10, therefore, brethren, watch this, be all the more diligent, be all the more zealous, be all the more intense to make certain about his calling and his choosing you. For as you practice these things, you will never stumble. You will never, is that a possibility, Sean? Yes. How do you know? Because he said so. If you walk in this place of a moral excellence, you walk in this place to apply truth through understanding. You walk in this place of self-control. You walk in this place of perseverance. You walk in this place of godliness. You walk in this place of brotherly kindness. You walk in this place of love. You walk in this place to say, God, I need to know these with a diligence. I will be intense. I will be zealous towards these things. And if I apply these things, you tell me that I will not be shaken. You tell me that I will not stumble. You either believe it or you don't. Church, I want to believe this. Need to be done preaching just a good message. I've never been one to give to my wife, who's a stunning woman. She loves the 3 points. Sean, can you give us 3 points? Well, anytime you see 3 points, I'm being a good husband. That's never been me. We just need to believe this and to say, God, that you would move again, and we need wisdom today. Can you just close your eyes, please, for a minute? As a matter of fact, if you just stand to your feet, please. Give us wisdom. God, I don't have to be shaken. I don't have to go the way of the world. I don't have to go in the way the waves are taken. Our generation, God, that we walk in a place to be protected. God, that we walk in a place for our children and our children's children. God, where is the generation to stand for that which is not yet born? Let us be that generation to say someone took a stand against the crazy. Someone actually believed. There was a generation that believed that God would move again on behalf of our grandchildren. Just close your eyes just for a minute. I love this verse. It's Psalm 55. It says this, cast your burden upon the Lord and he will sustain you. And he will never allow the righteous to be shaken. Cast your burden upon the Lord. Please hear me. And he will sustain you. He will uphold you. And he will never, allow the righteous to be shaken. Father, I pray that every person here today and every family member online will come back to a place to believe your word again. Lord, we need wisdom. I pray that we hold wisdom and discretion close to our heart, close to our soul. And we ask you in this moment for wisdom, for clarification of our day-to-day according to your word, to what you have said. Not the world, not the craziness, not the instability. And Father, I pray over every person in this house today that there would be this sense within our spirits again of stability. Of not being afraid, of being bold and being courageous and being strong. God, you said that we won't stumble. God, we won't be shaken. I trust that's true. Move our hearts today. Let us be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Lord, we will not conform to this world, but we are transformed. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, man, I want you to get this, please. That we will not be conformed, but we will be transformed. The word transforms us. There's a transformation because of truth, and it sets you free. And church, when you've come to this place to know Christ, when you've truly come to this place to know Jesus, and there is that metamorphosis, this word transformed, we get it from metamorphosis, and it is that act of the butterfly that comes out of the cocoon, from the worm to the cocoon to the butterfly. You know what the butterfly never, ever does? He never gets back in the cocoon. Why do we try? Why, when we know that we have been set free and we know that I'm not conforming to the crazy of this world. No, I have been transformed. I was in that worm state and I went into that cocoon state and now God has freed me in such a way. A butterfly never tries to get back in the cocoon. Church, when you know that you are free, you know that you are free and you are transformed. And as we sing this closing song, I'm begging you, man, come to Christ. Do a work in your spirit in this moment and let God do a work in you by the truth of his word, that we walk out of this place different. And if anybody needs prayer for any reason, please come up front, man. We would love to pray for you. Come on.